I'm Russ White for MSU Today. Always privileged to be in the company of Michigan State University President Luana K. Simon for an update on all things MSU. And President Simon, I hope your summer's progressing well as we quickly approach fall semester.
Well, it just seems to have gone faster and faster as I get older and older, but it's been a great summer. How about you, Russ, with your boys? They're near the end of their MSU career.
It's going faster than I expected as well, so appreciate you asking.
Did they do some good projects?
They've done their internships, and they're working at FRIP doing things like that, so they're definitely enjoying the Spartan life.
Well, you know, I think this is typical of many of our students that I've encountered not only around the state but around the country. We've been doing primarily development work over the summer is, you know, really the fact that there are Spartans everywhere in these engaged positions making a difference in communities and in companies and getting greater experience that is not simply something to put on your resume but simply to accelerate your life's journey.
That's right. We have students doing a lot in Detroit these days. You're back from Traverse City, where our students have a big presence at the Traverse City Film Festival. And we sometimes get focused a lot, appropriately so, when we talk, President Simon, on the many great research and community engagement initiatives at MSU. We don't always talk enough about how good we are at educating the next generation. So talk about some of our efforts to educate our students.
I think if you look at since we're a very large place, we still have the essence of a Common Core curriculum that tries to make sure that we build the fundamentals of liberal arts into every program. Many universities have devolved to a distribution requirement, particularly of our size. And I think the integrative studies is a course that people complain about when they take it. And when you talk with them 5 years after graduation, are glad that they had exposure to some of those issues that didn't seem as just in time as they might have liked during their college career. I think you add that to the mixture of thinking and doing and internships, research experiences, the Spartans' Day of Giving. All those things contribute to having someone who really is using their talents and doing that in a way that connects to something that the phrase real life comes to mind, but are things that are that they need to do to be an impactful community member beyond their time as a student.
Are there things right now you're concerned about in the K-12 system that, of course, funnels students to us?
All of us talk about K-12. I think if you look at Michigan, what you have is a declining demographic. But which means that legacy costs continue to eat up much higher proportions of the dollars that can go directly to educate students at a time when K-12 here is also a very fragmented system. There's sort of a common sort of curricular set of expectations, but very fragmented. And there are great schools and there are not so great experiences. What we do know from our own research is that if you have a couple of very bad experiences as a student, it's just hard to recover and catch up, particularly if you have high aspirations. And we should have high aspirations for all of our children to become a more economically competitive, but more connected to what will be the needs for the 21st century. And I'm always amazed, though, on the other hand, about when you watch and listen to students. Part of the board retreat was in Chicago, looking at our program there. We did an exercise as a class with some teachers, elementary school teachers, around, you know, science. And it was a very simple exercise, you know, with marshmallows and paper bags and straws and things that every school can have, not just the fancy equipment that we think about, and they've developed some extraordinary integrated science learning experiences for elementary school children on relatively straightforward materials. But, you know, in order to do those things with simplicity requires great intellect and creativity. You can always give somebody a 3D printer and say, isn't this really neat? But to be able to do things with this sort of minimal set of materials, you know, household things, and be able to then translate that to multiple lessons is really very impressive. And they've published some guides for other teachers in doing that. And you see in them the passion to really not simply have students get by and pass a test, but to really learn for the 21st century. And so I'm really pleased about that. I think the Urban Cohort Program is producing, you know, students who are really not simply filling a spot, but are going to be educational leaders for the future.
Visiting with Michigan State University President Luana K. Simon, and not to be outdone, President Simon, by the previous two record-breaking fiscal years, MSU has closed the 2015-16 books on what is officially the most successful fundraising year in MSU history, a year in which $272 million was raised toward the Empower Extraordinary campaign goal of $1.5 billion. But what are your thoughts on donors and their belief in the mission and their supporting it here at MSU?
Well, I think that the trend is very positive, particularly with many people in our donor base still deeply rooted in Michigan, and with the ups and downs of not only the Michigan economy but the U.S. economy. So it's a matter of I think, recognizing that we can have our public heart. We can have that sort of sense of public responsibility that they see connected to our land-grant ideals. And at the same time, raise the dollars necessary to recruit and retain the very best people and give them the tools to be successful, much like the rest of the institutions in the league that we play in. And so that I think we've been gratified that message is getting a hold, and people are giving in varieties of ways. I'm pleased that the number of donors is up, individual donors are up, and our faculty staff giving remains very strong. People who know us and know the needs around them. But you know, if you put the number in context, it's relatively small. It's huge for us, but relatively small compared to some of our peers. Part of that is that we don't have fundraising associated with our medical schools there, grateful patients and other things, with the exception of VetMed. And in many large institutions like ours, 40% plus of their campaign goal is achieved through hospitals and medically related things. So in that context, we have to feel really good about these numbers and the growth, and we still have a bit of work to do because we're about half of our goal for endowed chairs, and we're about 78% of our goal for scholarships, because those are the things for the future that make a huge difference.
And our facility for rare isotope beams and our National Superconducting Cyclotron Laboratory will host a public open house on August 20th. The public can tour the facilities, learn more about FRIB and NSCL, meet nuclear scientists and hear about their work on the frontiers of rare isotope research, and participate in several hands-on activities and demonstrations the whole family can enjoy and learn from. And it leads me to realize I haven't really asked you lately for an update on the effort, President Simon. How's the project faring?
Well, it's on schedule and on budget for major science programs. That's a huge issue. The review that we had this last month was positive. You know, we always have things to work on to be better, because you bring together really smart people from around the world, and they have ways of making you better. But we're on track and in a good position. It is important, I think, to do a tour now, because we're going to be starting to put all this equipment in the tunnel. And this will be one of the final moments where people can actually walk through it and the general public can have a chance to see how big the tunnel is and what it looks like and all those kinds of things, because it'll be becoming filled with one-of-a-kind kinds of cryomodules and stuff that we're making and putting in to keep on schedule. So it was important to take a pause here and give people a chance to have as much access as possible to the facility before all of these natural things provide barriers, because you can't climb over a cryomodule. So whether you're a president or a general public, you're just not going to be able to do it. And this is a way to sort of see how big it is or how small it is, depending on your perception of it.
Your thoughts on a different matter, President Simon, the untimely loss of Mike Sadler, but the emotional memorial service at Spartan Stadium, and really we constantly get the feeling of the family atmosphere that Coach D'Antonio has created for Spartan football.
Well, I think that any time you have a young person who has, in by anyone's definition, left Earth too soon, given their great potential to make contributions, it sort of evokes a time of reflection, and also the fact that there's no guarantees in life, whether you're 70 or 22 or 23. And it's always one of the things we do at the end of the year for our currently enrolled students, because we have a memorial service for them and their families. They don't have the notoriety because of what happened to them, or the fact that they were involved in big plays. But they're still very important Spartans. So yesterday is always a time when you recognize that football has a way of capturing attachment to people, and the number of people who were there, probably many of them had never met Mike Sadler, as a way of celebrating what's best about student-athletes, not what happens on the field, but what's best about them as human beings, and how sad we are to lose people with such great potential. But I feel the same way for names that no one knows, not only in our student body and across America, as we think about lives that are lost in a variety of ways where the potential is greatly unfulfilled. And that's why we do a memorial service, plant a tree, and have that kind of conversation.
President Simon, as of August 15th, Michigan State University is a smoke-free campus. There's a treasure trove of information for our listeners at tobaccofree.msu.edu, but just your general thoughts.
Well, Kentucky did it before we did, so I don't think this is actually a path-breaking action at all. It was done after an enormous amount of consultation with our faculty, staff, and students. Obviously, not everyone agreed, but the preponderance of energy was behind moving in this direction. And again, it's not path-breaking by any definition. It's a little bit more difficult here because we're not interspersed with a city, so you can't easily go off university property as you can in some campuses in their implementation. But we'll continue to push smoking cessation programs for those who want them and try to navigate through an implementation strategy that is both fair and disciplined, but at the same time is recognizing that this is going to be a little lumpy as we move through the next parts of this, but not, again, not path-breaking by any definition.
President Simon, one of the sounds we hear in August that really tells us fall is on the way is the Spartan Marching Band gearing up, and I know the band is very important to you and Dr. Roy Simon. Again, just your general thoughts on the band and its place at MSU.
Well, I think if you look back on the history of the Spartan Marching Band, of bands in colleges, they were a representation of the student body and the student body engagement, as well as showing off a great deal of talent by individuals who brought spirit to a game and entertainment to our fans, that was connected to the academic enterprise of the institution. And we happen to be a marching band where we draw students from well across the campus, so you can be a business major and still be a marching band member, which I think reflects this sort of low barriers. You can participate in lots of things at Michigan State beyond labeling yourself an X or a Y, because that's really where the world is moving. And so it's really, for me, a way of thanking people who are integral to great Saturdays, but often are never going to be on the front page after a great Saturday. And in the years when we weren't as good as we are right now, they provided just a lot of spirit and uplift for the student athletes who are playing on the field or the basketball games or whatever with the pep bands, volleyball, whatever you pick. And so I think that's important to recognize those kids work really hard. They're not compensated, you know, and this is for love of their music and for love of an engagement of music and sport.
President Simon, as we close, I'd always like to ask you just a few things on your radar as fall semester gets underway. What should Spartans be keeping an eye out for?
Well, I think that we're an interesting point of inflection in our society, and not because of a political election, because there are lots of social issues that have come again to the fore. And if you are my age, you would have hoped we would have made much more progress on our capacity to respect one another, appreciate that we all can be different but yet still talented. And I think a lot of the things around us, whether it's terrorism, the greater inequality in our society, you know, without blaming who or what, it just is. And we can't have this sort of sense of inequality in our society, fear, all the words that you have, and I think you have a strong democracy. I think the founding fathers, when they were working through all those beginning days, understood that, even though the country was coming out of a very difficult time and a time with lots and lots of divisions, that we had to move beyond those to take advantage of all of our talents and to have people feel as if they belonged. And because if people feel like they belong, they're going to do more. They're going to contribute more of their talent, not simply for themselves, but for the collective good. So there's both a philosophical, moral way of thinking about it, and there's a very practical way of thinking about it. And so the land-grant universities were formed at that point, I think, to try to bridge that some of those issues. And we're still, you know, struggling as a society with that. And the students, when they come back, will continue to struggle with that. And I try to remember that through their lives, they're digital natives, so they're very sensitive to what's said on digital media, but not necessarily analyzing it with the next burst of digital media. And they'll learn that here. It's one of the things that make them a great Spartan when they leave. But at the beginning, those 10,000 new people that we bring in as graduate and undergraduate students are just going to sort of have some difficult times. I think that the nature of the rhetoric around us is one that, again, pulls at civility, that it's essential for these people to get to know one another and take the time to do that. Without saying it's politically correct, because that's what I'm saying. I'm saying you just got to sort of listen and learn and talk to people with respect and civility while you deal with ideas that have very rough edges and can be very divisive as ideas. But how do you as a university embrace that, those rough edges, and not have them be a way of having rough edges with people? Because if people have rough edges, they tend not to listen and talk and learn. It's very selfish. It's not politically correct. It's very selfish because you've got to be able to understand something that's not your world in order to know what to do with it, and embrace and understand and listen to ideas that you don't like. Maybe they're said in ways you don't like either, but that's really what educated people have done for a very long time, and I guess I'm a traditionalist in that regard amidst all this digital world. So I think it's going to be an interesting time for our students, for our community, for our world, to see how things unfold. At the same time, you know, the pressures to for these students to leave here more work ready, but at the same time more life ready, Which means we have to prepare them for their X job, not just their first one. And those will remain things that we'll just continue to work with through the neighborhoods, looking at the curriculum, changing things, adding things, subtracting things, trying to look at data and analytics in a way that lets us fine-tune what we're doing for particular people or groups of people, as opposed to having a generic solution that works almost for everybody but not quite. Because the biggest cost of an education is not getting one. You know, we're still pleased that actually the proportion of students with educational debt has actually dropped here, even though our population, our demographics is pretty much unchanged in terms of socioeconomic class. We're still have a 30% first gen Pell eligible students. 75% of our students come from families of $135,000 or less. 137, I guess maybe the number is now, but that's still a very different demographic than most top 100 places, most AAU places, and it will cause its own challenges for us, but at the same time, it's an enormous strength, and we need to tap that because I think that's the reflection of a great democracy.
President Simon, thanks for sharing your insights with us once again on MSU Today.
Well, you're welcome, Russ, and thanks for all the work that you all do throughout the year, and good luck for your sons, I think, as they go their senior year, right, or their senior plus year. I'm not quite sure they're going to stay on for a while.
That's right. I'm not sure where they are with all those AP credits, where they actually fall in, but that's Michigan State University.
They may be like a lot of students. They just want to take more things. They don't want to graduate.
That's right. I tell them, don't rush. There's plenty of time for the real world.
Yeah, but there's so many opportunities. If you think about the new departments in bio, the combination of bio and engineering, the new algorithm-oriented department, lots of great opportunities for students to be engaged in research and creativity, entrepreneurship, I can understand why some of them want to not count those AP credits and stretch this out a bit.
You can keep up with Michigan State University President Luana K. Simon at president.msu.edu, and I'm Russ White for MSU Today.